Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Nun Hey. We're starting six lines from the top of the Omid Shaul Agrippus. As you recall, we already started yesterday with the Mishnah and the Gemara with kind of philosophical questions. Why do we find that Avodas Kechavim, the Avodah Zarah, seems to have powers in the sense that why doesn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu just clean it all up and destroy it and get rid of it? So we had some extended discussion about that, and we're going to continue that discussion today. And the Gemara begins with Shaul Agrippus. Whenever you see the term Agrippus, automatically you jump to the conclusion that we're talking about Agrippus HaMelech, but that's not the case. There were two Agrippuses, and in fact they both lived concurrently. Because the Gemara says, Shaul Agrippus Sartzova. Sartzova means he was the five-star general. As you see the Rashi on the third and fourth line, Agrippus Sartzova. He was a goy, memuna al roshi geisos. He was in charge of all the troops, all of the military. Ubimei Agrippas hamelech hoya. So you had Agrippas the king, and you had Agrippas the five-star general. What did he ask? He asked Rav Gamliel. It says in the pasuk, Ki Hashem lekecha eish oich lehu keil kana. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is a keil kana. Keil kana means that he's jealous. At least so the Gemara assumes. When does a person become jealous? If someone competes with him, either in Chochma, smart guy, a Gibor, he's powerful, he's strong, another Osher, in other words, your competitor, your Mekana. But if you're talking about a third-level individual who is inferior to you in any of these three categories, do you care? Oh, who cares about that guy? He sits in back of the bus, he sits in back, he's not a competition to me. You'll of course notice that the Gemara is kind of paraphrasing the Pasuk, Al Yishal El Chochem B'Chochmasai, Yishal Gibor B'Gurasai, etc. So, why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu care about an idol? An idol is not, a competitor of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol. An idol is a gunish, you throw in the garbage, it's nothing. Why is a Kodesh Baruch Hu Keil Kana? That's what he asked from Gamliel. So Gamliel answered, Omaloi, Emshul Chomoshel Lamadav Adoyma. I'll give you a marshal. Let's just finish the shekel. Le'odam Shenosa Isha Al Ishtoi, Chashuva Mimena, Ein Miskana.
Hello.
Yes, good morning, Brother Shai. So, we are in Daf Nun Hey Amid Aleph, 10 lines to the top of the Amid. And we're giving a mashal. Ram Gamliel is telling a mashal to Agrippas Sartzova. And he's saying, I'll give you a mashal about the Daim Adam Shinasa Isha Alishta. A person had now a second wife. As you know, in the good old days, this was totally permissible. You were allowed to marry multiple wives. So, a person married a second wife in addition to his existing wife. If Sheikh Chashuva Mimana, if the second wife is more Choshuv than the first wife, then the first wife says to herself, I understand why my husband married the second wife. Of course, I'm not happy, but I understand why he did it, because she's more Choshuv. She's smarter, she's prettier, she's wealthier. I can understand that. And there ain't a Maskanaba, therefore she doesn't get full of fury against her husband, because she understands that the husband is looking for something better. Presumably she's happy that he doesn't go and divorce her. But Pchusamimena, if it happens to be someone who's lesser in status than she, then Miskanaba. This Lashon of Kina doesn't mean that she is jealous, but rather, says Rashi, she's furious against her husband and says, this is what you married and you made for me my competitor. This is a kunish, he's a nobody. If you take a look at the Rashi, Rashi's five lines from the top. First narrow line, Ein miskanaba, ishtei harishoina, ein makpedes kol kach. If she happens to be someone on the same madrega in terms of chashivus. So ishtei harishoina, ein makpedes kol kach, listen as bala. She understands that her husband wants a chashuva mimena, and she doesn't cause a ruckus or a problem. Mena, if it happens to be that the second wife happens to be less in darga than her, miskana umakpedes olav lisanoisai. Then she gets angry at her husband. why did she go and take this this Gnendel into the family? Who is she? The Chagunish. She's not pretty, and she has no money, and she has no seichel. What do you tell me? Just, you know, she only causes trouble. If shachshuvim imana, ein miskan. So therefore, this was the Tetzer of Gamliel is giving to Agrippus on his question. Klum miskani olam chochem chochem begibar begibar. Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry because maile, if you would have found something choshev that you are bowing down to, okay, I'm not happy, but I'm not going to go and start screaming. But you just took this piece of nothing, this inanimate piece of metal or wood, and you decided this is a god? Come on, you guys are nuts, are you crazy? So it's not a lashon of kinna of jealous, but it's a kin of zealous. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is so angry that Klal Yisrael should go and take an egel, a nothing, and make from it a gantz avodah zarah. You want to ask
I'm
something?
I'm just wondering, you know, Agrippus and Chagoy.
Yeah, yeah, Abba Rashi said it right.
So they're figuring, they have, I mean, in Gleibing it's a crazy situation, but eventually it grows up with a certain... So he doesn't hold Chochem B'Chochem.
So why do you ask the question?
Why he comes around asking the question, he's like, I'm asking with you that he's Chochem B'Chochem. I don't understand. I don't know his Havamin. I mean,
Agrippus obviously was a smart fellow because he was the five-star general.
I might say it wasn't smart, Munak, but Rashi Geisis. It has nothing to do with smartness.
Gotcha.
Other glad.
I see.
Has nothing to do with smartness.
Okay, gotcha. And we continue on. Vaita Omale Zunin Lira Bekiva. Zunin Astra Bekiva. Libi Velibcha Yoda or Yodea. Davidis Kechobim Les Bom Mashasha.
He,
me
he
and you.
That.
I'm sorry, once again?
The Zina at least knows, comes up and says,
100%.
I'm telling you the situation. I know.
Zuna was a Yisrael, even a Yid, even an Erlechid. So he says to Rabbi Kiva, listen, we're both Erlechid, we both believe in the Rabbi Nishlan, we don't believe in all of this Narishkeiten, but nevertheless, I have a question for you. What is my question? Libi, Velibcha, Yodeyar, which should be Yoidim probably, the Vodis Chom Les Bamashosha that Avodah Zarah has no mamashes to it, it's Gunish. V'hokka chazinan gavri the azli ki mitbri v'asu ki mitzvidi. Can you imagine? Sometimes you find people that are very, very sick. They go into their church. They come in mitbri. Mitbri means they're broken. Broken either in avorim, in terms of their body. They have a broken leg, a broken arm, or some other machla. V'asu, and then when we return from their pilgrimage to the Avodah Zarah, they come back in mitzvidi. They are back together again. Rashi says that Eivorim Mitzumadim. Mitzumadim means that all of the bones have come back into their joints and now they're back to normal. It doesn't make sense. You go to this Avodah Zarah, you come in broken and you come back whole. How can that be? My timer. Says Rabbi Kiva, Omoloi Emshach HaMoshel Ma'adah V'Doyma. Odom Ne'eman, he had a person who was very faithful, very trusted in the community, Shahoyah Be'ir, V'chol B'nei Iroi Hoyah Mafkidin Etzloi Shloi Be'edim. Everybody trusted him so implicitly that he is such a tzaddik and so trustworthy and so honest that people would go and lend him money or leave a pikodoin with him. They didn't ask for any receipts, they didn't ask for any witnesses, no proof. They knew Yankel Smith is the most erlich person in town. Nothing to worry about. You'll get your pikodin back. Uba'odim echad, and then there was one smart fellow, so-called smart. V'hifki loy be'edim. He was makbid. He only gave him pikodin be'edim. I don't trust anybody. I have to have edim. Okay. Pam echad, one time it came out. Shochach, this fellow, this grois chucham, that only was makbid be'edim. Pam echad shochach. One time he made a mistake, he forgot, he wanted to leave a pikodoin, he normally summoned his two witnesses, he forgot that morning, ay, 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 and he gave a pikodoin even without Adam. Omerle Ishtoi, so the wife of this Odom Ne'eman, of this Shoimer HaPikdoinois, said to her husband, you know what, let's go a machashtikel against this fellow, poi v'nichbaranu. When he wants to go and collect his bikkurim, let us be kofer. Let us go and deny that we received the bikkurim. Because after all, every time he does a be'edim, if he comes now and he's going to ask back for this bikkurim, we'll say, it's not true. You never gave it to us. And if you want to prove it, you know, you always bring witnesses. Where are your witnesses? And this way, we'll be able to keep the bikkurim. Amalah, so the Shomer, who's the trustworthy Adam Ne'eman, says to his wife, just because this fool did improperly in the sense that throughout the year he always demands witnesses, and now he came without witnesses because he acts so foolishly, should we allow our faith to go and fall through into the wastebasket? In other words, we have to do ours. We have an impeccable reputation in the community as being trustworthy, as being Neman, as being faithful. Because this fellow acted until now foolishly, because of that we're going to jeopardize our emuna, our status and reputation. Afkach says now Rabbi Kiva, the same thing, that's the mashal. What's the nimshal? Same thing as the Gabi Yisurim. Bishor shemishagren oisan al adam, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu sends Yisurim on an individual, mashbien oisan, we go and take the Yisurim as if the Yisurim is a malach or a sar over the Yisurim, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is mashbia him, he causes him to swear, shaloiteichu ela biyoim ployni, that they should not approach that individual and make him nebuch sick and pain and in pain only on a particular date. For they say to, and he should only leave that person ela biyoim ployni, on a later date. Ubishah ployness, and at a specific time. Vayidei ployni, and only if he's going to go to a particular doctor. The al yidei sam ployni, and if that doctor is going to go and prescribe a particular medicine. If and when that occurs in Yechem, not if, but when that occurs, then the Yisurim has sworn, yes, I'm going to leave the person and go home. Guess what happens? Kibishi gives manam lotzeis, when the exit time comes now up, that day that he had sworn he's going to leave at a particular time, at a particular hour, holach zeh, the person that had the Yisurim, he goes, l'beis avodas chacham, he goes into his church, and he goes and says whatever he says, and now he leaves. And now, guess what? That coincides with the time that the Yisurim is supposed to leave. So, Amr Yisurim, Yisurim says to himself, Din hu shaloi neitzei. The truth of the matter is, I should not leave this individual. Otherwise, he's going to go and think in his mind that it's the Avodah Zarah that helped him out to take the Yisurim away. V'choizin v'oimrim. And then after that, the Yisurim says, you know, on second thought, after all, I made a shvur. I can't go now and be unfaithful to my shvur. I'm an honest, I can't say individual, but I'm an honest Yisurim, and if I made a shvur that I'm going to leave on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, because Dr. Ployni gave me a particular medication, and this fellow just happens to have gone to the Avodah Zarah the night before or that morning, so because of that I should go and lose my ne'emanis when I made a shvua, and therefore I can't do that. Since I swore that I'm going to leave at that time, 9 o'clock, Tuesday morning, I'm going to leave come heaven or high water. And so therefore, I'm kind of stuck with it. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Kiva's answer is to him. Just because he walked into the voice of Chav and he came in broken and he comes out complete, don't attribute that to the powers and the forces of the Avodah Zarah. It's because that was pre-planned, predetermined by Kodesh Baruch Hu by swearing the Yisurim when they're going to come and when they're going to leave. Behind the Yomer B'yochanan, that's what B'yochanan said. Ma'idach Siva to say in the Pasuk, the Chaloyim Ro'im v'ne'emanim. What does that mean, ne'eman? Ro'im b'shlichusan. When they are sent, unfortunately, says Rashi, miyasrim esaguf, they can unfortunately inflict terrible pain on that individual. However, ne'emanim bishvuasan, the shvur that they made, I'm going to leave at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. They are faithful. They are not going to go and change from what they swore, because that they were sworn to those particular times, regardless of what happened in between. Zoki Marvaita, Omale Rabba Bar Yitzhak Lerav Yehuda, Ha'ika base avoided Zachovim be Asrein. There happens to be a base avoided Zora in our town. The Chimitzrich Almalimitra. What happens if it has not rained in a while? So you know what happens? Mischazi Luhu Bechalma. What happens is that this avoided Zora go and appears now in the dreams of the Oivde avoided Zora. The Amalahu and the Avodah Zarah says to its worshippers in a dream, Shachlali Gavra, go and shech this individual, Vaisimitra, and guess what? And then it's going to start raining. So what do the worshippers do? They follow what their God said in the dream, and Shachtu La Gavra, and in fact, they went and killed someone. And what happened? Vaisimitra. And now it has started to pour. So you see that there's a koyach to this Avodah Zarah. Amalei, so Rav Yehuda answered to Rav Bar Yitzchak, Hashdi havas shchivna li'amr l'cho hamiltza. Baruch Hashem, you asked me this question whilst I'm still alive, because Chas v'Sholem, had I passed away, I would not have been able to share this with you. What am I sharing with you? D'omar Rav, remember Rav Yehuda was initially a Talmud of Rav. When Rav passed away, he became a Talmud of Shmuel. So he told him an alta mama that he heard from Rav. My Dechsev says in the Pasuk, we just learned this in last week's Parsha, Parsha of Eschanan. It says in the Pasuk, when Tisraynech Hashemayma, you're going to go and look upwards to the heavens. For Isas Hashemish is Yerech, Vesekechovim. Kol Tzva Hashemayma, you're going to go and see the sun and the moon, the stars, the entire constellation, everything. And you're going to stop believing that these are gods. You're going to worship them. What is this cholak Hashem? So Rashi in Chumash says Poshib Shat means that the Kodesh Baruch Hu did not allocate the Shemesh Yireach for avoida, for worship. Hashem put it up in the Shemaim to go and give light, to go and be part of the daily light that we have during the day and at night. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu set it aside and allocated it for these, for the needs of mankind and the needs of the world, to have sun during the day and moon at night, etc., etc. So that's the Poshib Shat. But also the word Cholak, in this case, says the Gemara, has a different interpretation. Rashi brings this second shot as well. The word achlikon means to make something so smooth so that a person can slip. As you know, today in Eretz Yisrael, chalak kush is called kasher chalak. Chalak means that it's very smooth. When the pavement or the wherever you're walking is very smooth, then a person can go on, slip on it, especially if it's wet or whatever. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside the Shemesh Yireach not only to go and provide light, but L'chayil Amim, for the other nations that wish to go astray and to do Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let them go and slip on this Avodah Zarah. Now it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chas v'Sholem giving them a Michshol. Rashi says, HaChlikan B'dvarim, Menichon Litois. You want to go and be Toah and serve the Avodah Zarah? No problem. It's what we call Bechira Chavshis. Everybody has a right to make his own Bechira, to make his own decisions. You make the right decisions, you'll get schar. You'll get the wrong decision, you make the wrong decisions, you'll get punishment. But Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving everybody free Bechira, do whatever you want. So Hashem was Machlik B'dvarim, meaning he let them exist, and you, Oivdei Avodah Zarah, if you want to go and worship the sun, the stars, the moon, gizim tight, do whatever you want. So that eventually, if they continue on their terrible path of Avodah Zarah, then eventually they'll get punished, etc. So here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this whole Avodah Zarah coming into the dream and appearing to people and saying, Shachli Gav Vaisimitra, this is all narishkeit, this is all nonsense and shtusim. But if these worshippers believe in it, because I'm tight. I mean, that's the Bechira Kodesh Baruch Hu gives to every human being. And if you slip on it, it's your own problem. V'ayin yom Rish Lakish, Ma'idach Sivin says in the Pasik, famous Pasik in Mishlei, Im Leleitzim Hu Yolitz V'lanovim Yitein Chayim. What does that mean? Im Leleitzim, if a person decides he wants to go on the path of Leitzonus, Leitzonus doesn't only mean to make jokes. Everybody makes jokes from time to time. At least most people do. The Litzonis means that a person is constantly mocking, constantly denigrating others. No, if that's what he wants to do, Hu Yolitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow him to do that. If that's your mindset, you want to constantly denigrate others, make fun of others, Hu Yolitz, I'm going to let you do what you want to do. That's what we call free Bechira. free choice. Lanovim, however, a person wants to go and do anivis. You remember we had late before in the Gemara about the Pinchas ben Yair said according to one shita, the highest form of kedusha is anova. It was machloikis. One said chasidus. One said anova. So lanovim, a person wants and aspires to anova, to great malice of kedusha and tahara. Yitin chen, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give him grace, meaning Hashem will help him out, will assist him. Therefore, says Rish Lakish, bo letameh, you want to be a letz and act like a letz and only do bad things and evil and shtusim. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the door is open, do whatever you want, I'm not going to interfere with what you're doing. But bo letayr, you want to be metayr yourself, mesayin oisoy, then yitin chen, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give him sustenance and assistance and help and support to be able to grow in his malis HaKadusha Vatar. And with this, we've concluded this very exciting Agadatam, and now we return back to business. And specifically, yes, Ariel.
So this is all nice, but didn't at some point the Chachamim claim to the realization that the Avodah Zara was so overpowering, overwhelming, that they beseeched God to do away with it altogether?
You're absolutely correct. As they were Maspalil, and they were Mavatal the Avodah Zara, the Yetzer of Avodah Zara, and that's why Menashe said to the Chachamim, Ravashi, thank you. He said to Ravashi, Ravashi said one day at the end of the shir, tomorrow we're going to talk about Menashele and all of his friends and his Avodah Zara. Come in tomorrow, it's going to be an exciting shir. And then Menashe came to him in a dream and said, yeah, Menashele and Avodah Zara, you're poo-pooing it. If you would have lived in our day and age before the Chachamim and the Chazal were able to come Mevatel Yetzer of Avodah Zara, you would have picked up the hem on the bottom of your toga, the bottom of your skirts, and you would have run after the Avodah Zara. That's how strong the Yetzer Hara was. So yes, under normal circumstances, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Chevra, you have Bechira Chofshis, do whatever you want, etc. However, when Klal Yisrael sees that we cannot withstand this terrible Yetzer Hara, we have the koyach of tefillah. And we know the koyach of tefillah ultimately is the highest koyach that we have vis-a-vis the Rabbi Nishal Olam. Of course, you can do other mitzvahs and masim toivim, but especially tefillah. And therefore, even if chas v'sholem, a person was destined chulila to pass away, and therefore the yisurim were sworn to do one thing or the other, the koyach of tefillah, we can go and change everything. We can change our mazel, we can go and change our destiny. We have to be mispal. And the Kans Klal Yisrael at that time were mispal with the greatest depth and sincerity, get rid of Avodah Zarah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore crippled the Avodah Zarah. As we know, they wanted to do the same thing for Aroyas, and they were so successful temporarily that a chicken didn't even go and lay an egg for 3 weeks, and therefore the whole world was in danger of men and women not getting married. That would really be a Shidduch crisis. And what would have happened is no children would be born and mankind would end and the whole world would end. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, we got to leave it, but Kadosh Baruch Hu crippled the Yetzer Hara of Aroyas so that people typically do not engage in incest. You do hear it every once in a while and you say this person must be demented because this is something so extraordinary. However, at that time, it wasn't so extraordinary. Just like Avodah Zarah was not extraordinary. That was the normal thing. Anyway, Yishar Koyach Ariel for allowing us to speak to that a little bit. But now let's get back to the Mishnah. Voshtet in the Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is going to go and explore the inyonim of Yayin Nesach and Stam Yenam. And the first issue that our Mishnah is going to focus on is when does the oozing of juice from grapes get the status, the halachic status of yayin, so that if a goy owns it, puts his finger in it, moves it, and shakes it, it gets a din of yayin nesach, if he has in mind to be menasach to avoid his aram, or he gets a din of stam yayinam, if he wishes to go and fraternalize with Jews. What point does the juice become wine? And that the Mishnah and the Gemara is going to explain in some detail. Before we begin, we should probably do a very quick hakdama of how the wine press works. You have the farmers and their workers who at the end of the grape season, harvest the grapes, schlep them all the way over to the wine press. When they come into the wine press, the first thing they see is the gas. Gas means that's a huge, huge basin which was used for treading. Treading means that people, could be in other places animals, but our Mishnah focuses on people, would go and step on the grapes. I'm sure they first washed their feet or cleaned the bottom of their shoes, but then they stepped on the grapes in this large basin. The basin was a basin which Rashi describes on the Amud Beis as being somewhat on an incline. There was an angle, if you will, inside the basin itself, where initially you had the grapes either at the top or on the angle, on the incline. People would step on it, and the juice would come out oozing to the bottom of this basin. And it stayed there. After that initial treading on the grapes, they took the residue of the grapes, put it back on the top of this gas, and they made a mound. The mound had a name of tapuach. Sounds like an apple. Perhaps the reason why they called it tapuach, because it looked like an apple. We have the same expression when it comes to the ash on the Mizbeach, that when it accumulated a huge amount, especially during Yom Tovim time, then it said in the Mishnah and the Gemara that the ash on top of the Mizbeach was also kimin tapuach.
It wasn't a wood?
Sorry, what's wood?
It wasn't a wood, a beam underneath.
Oh, we're getting to that right now. So Rabbi Yosef is already paving the way for the continued pressing of the grapes. These are all very pressing issues. Now that we have all the residue of the grapes, we put them on top of the basin of that where they were until now being tread by human heels, human soles, and instead we make a large mound, and then we have a large beam which comes down, presumably with some sort of pulley system, comes down and gives a kvetch, and then that really gets out the remaining juice from all of that residue, and that also pours down to the bottom of the basin. That whole apparatus is called the gas. That's the basin where initially they did the treading, and then after that they made the mound. They took the beam to go and press down on all of the grapes, whatever was left, and then the juice came down to the bottom. Now when it comes down to the bottom, there's an opening in the wall of the basin, which at times is pokuk, is a stopper that keeps the juice in, and at other times they pull that stopper out. And then the juice flows from the gas into the bor. The bor is a very large vat down below. Rashi also points out that in between, right after that hole in the wall, they had a gargusni, or what we would call a misanenes, a sieve, which would filter out as much as possible the dregs and the sediment and any pieces of grape that came to the bottom. It wasn't totally successful, but presumably it removed 90% or 95%, and therefore what now flowed through that sieve into the bar was all more or less pure juice. Then they would leave it there typically for 40 days, and it would be toses, it would ferment, and it would become wine. Okay, that's all wonderful. At what point does it have the status of halachic wine that it's susceptible to the din of Yayin Nesach or Stam Yenam? Says our Mishnah that it only becomes susceptible to Yayin Nesach after it passes through the hole and lands in the bar. Even when it's mid-ear, so to speak, from the gas into the bar, it's still oozing juice, and if a goy would touch it at that point, nothing happens. Only when it hits the bar down below, boom, from that moment, if the goy puts his finger in, then it becomes either Yayin Nesach or Stam Yenam, depending if he was Menasech v'Avodas Zarah, or Stam, he wanted to use it for drinking or whatever. So that's the background of the Mishnah. And now I think the Mishnah will be very understandable. Look at the Mishnah. Loichen gas be'utam in ha'ev gechavim. The Mishnah leaves out one or two words. You're not buying the gas itself, which is that large treading basin where people tread on it, but we're really talking about the contents of the gas be'utam, which means the juice which is in that gas be'utam. You can buy it from a goy. You do not have to worry about Yayin Nesach or Stam Yenam, even though the goy tread on it. And not only that, not only that he touched it with his feet, even though he takes his hands into that accumulated juice in the basin and removes the residue, that is, whatever left of the grapes which were previously stepped on and tread upon, he's now taking with his hands and he brings them up onto the tapuach, meaning that mound where they're eventually going to be further crushed with a beam, and it does not become yayin asach. And in fact, there are some that are going, it's not the eini oisim, no, she eini oisim yayin asach, ad sheir lebar. When does the juice oozing out of the grapes get the status of yayin for our purposes? Until it hits the bar down below. But until that point, nothing happened. It's just, I don't want to even call it grape juice, because I don't want to get us into the issue of grape juice, Bizman Hazeh, that people drink grape juice. It's not even grape juice. This is just juice which is oozing from the grapes. Nothing happened. It doesn't become Yayin Esach until it hits the bar down below. You're in the bar. Once it hits the bar, ooh, Mashab Bar Osir, then any juice that you have now in the bar, even though technically it's not wine yet, because it's not going to become wine until it ferments, nevertheless, whatever is in the bar is now susceptible to dinim of Yayin Nesach. Fashar, anything which is still up above in the gas, or that has even left the gas, but hasn't hit the bar yet, that's still mutter. It's not as if, you know, the Gemara uses the expression elsewhere that nitzik is mechaber, that you have a flow, it makes it all into one thing. The Gabi Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara, the Gabi Hilchas Mikvois, etc. Here it's telling you, if he hits the bar, Yayin Esech, or not that it is Yayin Esech, but from this point on, you're no longer allowed to go and buy it from the goy, because it has a status of Yayin Esech, or Stam Yainam, Vashar, whoever, anything which is still up above in the gas, for instance, that still remains Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach.
In fact, there's actually no change, no difference.
Yes, yes.
Between when this juice was in the gas,
mm-hmm,
or the juice is in the bar. Yes, the juice is concerned.
The juice is exactly the same. That's correct. But that's halacha. Up above, gunished. Down below, it now has the status of yayin esach. So if you want to go and buy from this guy that owns this wine press the juice, make sure that you take it whilst it's still upstairs in the upper part of this mechanism in the gas, then you can buy as much as you want, but once it hits the bar down below, becomes osir, not only bishtia, but also b'hanoah as well.
Where's the filter? Where's the filter place?
The filter place is there's a large loch. Loch means a large hole at the bottom of the basin,
yes,
which initially is plugged up, as we'll see in the Gemara. When they pull out that plug, and now the juice is going to start rushing out down below into the bar, there is the filter, which is on the outside of the loch. Outside meaning you don't see it on the gas side, you see it on the bar side, where all the juice now pours through, and then that filter filters out a lot of the dregs, a lot of the sediment, etc. It's not perfect, but it does quite a good job, and that's where it's located, right outside that hole. Okay.
So even after it passes the filter, until it hits and lands inside the bore, it's still mutter ba'anah.
Correct. Until it hits down below. Okay. So now that's the background. If you want, we can take a quick look at the Rashi's, so that the Rashi's fill in any mental blanks that we may have in understanding the whole process. Let's take a quick look. Rashi Mishnah Gas Be'uta Shebuata Be'ita normally means to go and kick. Means that the goy, whoever's working there in the gas, is treading upon these grapes so that the juice should ooze out. And then the Mishnah said, even though he picks up what's left of the anovim after the treading, and he puts it on a mound, says Rashi, Asifas Galu Anovim, he makes a mound of all of these Anovim, Shetachas Akoira, which he places now underneath this large beam, and Kori Tapuach, that large mound of the residue of the grapes after the initial treading, before the crushing and pressing of the Koira, that's called Tapuach, Ublas Sak, Because of a tana didon loyhavi ayinesach atshir lepart. So far, everything is just oozing juice. It does not get a status of yayin until it hits the cistern, the bar below. However, once it does go into the bar, mashib bar aser. In nogaboy, if it comes machrichay, just the fact that it happens to be in the bar itself is gunish. When the Ivikovim puts his finger in it, he could either be menasachit, or at this point it becomes tam yainam, and that's why it becomes awesome. The bar, explains Rashi, this large bar, this large vat, it's not like a bar in the ground. I mean, it's in the ground, but it's like a large vat, if you will, which is in the ground. And it's there for the purpose of receiving the yain that's flowing now from above, from the basin. There are those to make sure that the bar doesn't absorb, shouldn't be boleya from the juice. They put sid on the side. Sid is some sort of tar or pitch or plaster or whatever. The yayin is therefore is in good, in a good solid kli. And it doesn't even lose a drop. Vahu bor sid. And of course, Rashi is alluding to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says about Reb Lezer ben Hurkanes, he was such a genius and such an Odom Gadol, he was like a bor sid she'ena ma'abe tipa, like a bor that has been sufficiently plastered, that not even one drop falls out or leaks or gets absorbed. It's all there, every drop that you put in, that's the drop that you take out. So this is the background. Now we go back to the Mishnah, and now the Mishnah starts applying other rules and regulations. Instead of talking about drinking from the Yayin Esach or Stam Yenam, now we're going to talk about, are you allowed to be a worker, an employee, in this gas working for the Goy? After all, you're producing Isra Noah. Maybe it's Osir Bahan Noah to go and work in this Yayin. So therefore, says the Mishnah, you're allowed to go and be dorech, be one of the treaders on the grapes to let that initial oozing of the juice. Don't say mistaker b'isuri hanohu. Look, his salary, whatever money he's receiving, he's getting from Israel. You don't say that. Remember what we said. As long as it hasn't hit the bar yet, not only is it mutar b'hanoah, it's mutar b'shtiyah, you can go and drink from it. Of course, make a bayir pre-kofen. Oh, mishum goyrim tumma leka. Oh, don't I have another problem that I'm going being goyrim tumma? Now, the Gemara is going to tell us on the Amid Beis that our Mishnah holds, osar ligroin tumma l'chulin shebe'eretz Yisrael. There's an issur in the Torah to go and be to allow truma to become tamei, and the part of the Gemara always quotes a pasuk that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave mishmeres truma soy. What's the double lashon of truma soy? That you have to be careful shmira both on truma tahira and truma tamei. You're not allowed, a koyin or anybody else that's dealing with truma has to be very careful that the truma should not become tamei in Eretz Yisrael, because there were a lot of people that ate chulin b'tahara, and also because we didn't want truma to become tameh, so they said, even chulin, make sure it does not become tameh. Be very, very careful. Also, ligroim tuma l'chul in Eretz Yisrael. So now, that being the case, how am I allowed to go and participate with the goy? The goy, obviously, is not makbid on hilchos tuma v'tahara. He doesn't have those dinim like we do. So that being the case, do I have a problem as a Jew in assisting him in treading on these grapes? I might help or assist in making it tame. Says Rashi, that's not a concern. As soon as the goy put his foot down, literally, on the grapes, they already became tame then. Because every goy, midrabanan, one, I think it's one of the Yudches Gzeiris in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, every goy has a din of a cheskas tuma. And therefore, by definition, he steps on these grapes, they became tamei. So now when I am helping him out, as long as I'm not the first person that's stepping on him, or I don't do it simultaneously, let him go and put his foot down first, and then I assist in this process, I'm not making it more tamei, it's already tamei. since the Oivik Chavim, as soon as he does Ma'at, Dorach Ben Ma'at, it's all Nitmu. So therefore, I, the Jew, can now help him out. I could presumably even help him out before he started treading. However, the Gemara is going to talk shortly about whether the Gas itself may be Kalim Temeim. So I certainly don't want to assist in that process. Anyway, we'll get to that soon. So
he's not over an Avera, the guy is not over an Avera.
100%. So
therefore, Asher said, because he's not over an Avera.
That's the next shikul. So Rabbi Yosef now paves the way for the next piece of Rashi. Okay, so I don't have to worry about his mistake b'surei ano. Why? Because at this point, it's even mutter b'shtia, certainly mutter b'ana. I don't have to worry about his goyim tuma, because the goy is the one that's goyim tuma. The fact that I'm helping him out in treading, that's le'mal of le'mayir, it's already tamei from the first time that the goy put his foot down. But what about m'siyeh yedei ovri aveira, says Rashi, leka. He doesn't have dinim of tuma v'tahar, he has to make sure that his chulin are tahar. He's not Jewish. No such gzeira, no such din. So therefore, none of these concerns bother us. He can be doirech ma'ivikham begas. On to the Amid Beis. But don't be boitzer. The boitzer means to go and harvest the grapes out in the vineyard. And you're saying to yourself, what's the problem of going and do the b'tzira? After all, we're not even at the point of talking about juice or wine. We're talking about the grapes. Says Rashi, because those that were boitzer didn't just harvest, but these were they had three stages in their work agenda or their work requirements. Number one was to be boitzer, to go and harvest the grapes and to cut them. Number two, to pack them into boxes and to transport them to the gas, and then to take them out of the boxes and put them in the gas. Ooh, that's the problem. Look at the top, Rashi. Avoloi boitzrin. Ooh, that's the problem. I'm taking these grapes. I mean, l'choyre, you could have said, just do the betzira and not the transport and not the placing into the gas. But apparently this was part of the job description. If you were a harvester, a cutter, you did all of those stages. That what? Number one, you cut them. You cut the grapes from the vine. Then you put them into boxes. You took these boxes and schlepped them to the gas. And when you got to the gas, you would place it now into the gas. Hey, but the problem is this gas is already tamei v'goyim tumuhu, and you're going to be goyim tuma. So Rashi, shenisinosum legas lishein drichahu. Why are you putting in the gas? Because you know that in another few minutes the dorchim, the treaders, are going to come in. Udrichasim mitamot tetamei. So even though they won't be tamei yet, why won't they be tamei yet? After all, they're ready in the gas, which is tamei, because they're not hukshru. There's no hechshir lekabel tuma. The koydim drichem vadele mekabli tuma, the stamalei hukshru. Presumably, they're not mukshir lekabel tuma, especially if there was no draining of any or any oozing of the juice inside the boxes. If there was oozing inside the boxes, and it was nichale, he was happy. Oh, very good, it's already oozing. It'll make our job easier. That's a different story, and that's what Rashi now refers to. That we're assuming that since the intention of cutting these grapes was for the gas, if they become now wet from any juice which oozes from the grapes, that's when I know for sure that it's hukshir, that I see the juice and I am intending for these grapes to be, not to be eaten, but rather to be squeezed and part of the wine process. And you know, hukshir vada, that's a different story. What's the whole problem of this bitzira that I'm saying that I cannot put it into the gas? So big deal. It becomes tamei. Why is that my problem? Oh, the kasavra. Our mishnah holds also ligram tuma lechulin shebe eretz yisrael. So bottom line is, if I'm dealing with a goy, I'm allowed to be doreich imoy, but not boitzer imoy. Try to remember that. We're going to get to that in the Gemara shortly. Finally, what about a Yisrael who owns the gas? But unfortunately, he's oisa betuma. Oisa betuma, says Rashi, is an oiver avera. Because if you're saying that the chomim made a din, osa ligrim tuma chun eretz Yisrael, how is he doing that? He is violating that gezeira, violating that legislation. So he's a bad guy. What's the din? I, the er lechayid, loy dorichim loy baitrim imai, I'm not allowed to go and help him now in the dricha or the betzira. Why? Remember Rashi said in the Amud Aleph, because in the case of the goy, he's not mitzvah, so I'm not a misayeya yedei oivri avera. But the Yid is mitzvah. So if I'm going to help in the Dricha or in the Petzira, oi, I'm helping him in his causing these grapes and ultimately the juice and ultimately the wine to all become tamei. You're being Messiah de Reveira, and that you're not allowed to do. So Leidorchen, Leiboitzrim Imai. Avil, what you are allowed to do, after all, you didn't have to make panusa, what you can do is Malichen Imai Chavius Legas, or Medien Imai Minagas. You can go and bring Chavius, empty barrels. We're not talking about schlepping grapes. Because if you're schlepping the grapes and you're going to put into the gas, no good. You're going to cause them to become tummy. But what you can do is bring empty barrels to the gas, nothing inside the barrel, totally empty. Or maybe an imay min hagas, and once the juice has now been converted into wine, and now he wants to move this wine into a wine cellar somewhere, or to a retailer that's going to go and sell the wine, that's okay, because now it's already done. He is not assisting in any Isser Aveira Chas V'Sholem. The Chavius, he schlepped it. He's just a, what you would call a schlepper. He's a transporter, a porter. He's taking the empty barrels to the gas, and he takes them back full of the wine. But otherwise, he has nothing to do with the product itself. Now, the Mishnah says, similar to what we just spoke about in the wine production, same thing applies to a nachtoim. A nachtoim, of course, is a baker. Shu oise betuma. Unfortunately, he is like his brother, the other Yisrael that's working in the gas. He's an oiver aveira. He's not makbid legabi being goyrim tuma lechulin in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. So just like we said, you cannot assist the Yisrael when it comes in producing the wine. Why not? Because you misayeya de oiver aveira. Here too, Loshin means to knead with a K. In Yiddish, tzekneten. You can't go and knead the dough together with that nachtum. Orchen means to go and shape it into a nice form for a bread, for a challah, for a matzah, for a cake, whatever it happens to be. Because again, you are assisting in putting tumah on chulin shebaretz Yisrael. Avol malichin imay pasul balter. Once he's finished with all of his losh and all of his aricha, you're just talking as a porter to move it from place to place. That's okay. In other words, apparently our Mishnah is telling us that there was the nachtoim that formed the. He would take the initial flour, he would mix it with the water, he would make the bread, the cake, etc., out of it, and he had that whole process of working on the dough, the aricha and the lisha. But then after that, Nachtoim might not have had an oven, and therefore you send it over now across the street to the palter, and now he's going to go and bake this bread inside the oven. So all you did was the porting, transporting from place to place. That's not an issue. Okay, we're going to talk about Nachtoim in the future, but we go back to our Yayin from the Gas. So remember, in our Mishnah we said it only gets the status... I'm sorry, Nachumul?
Palter is the Yid or Goy?
It really doesn't make a difference. The point is, even though the Nachtoim was Jewish, and unfortunately he caused this Isa to be Tamei, so I would think, I'm now transporting this to the Palter. Says, that's not a problem. The transporting is not an issue. Now, if you're wondering whether the Palter is a Goy or a Yid, that gets us into an earlier Sugya, whether you can rely on Pas Palter of a Goy, or you can only take pass from a Yid. And you remember the Gemara said it depends whether it's Besoda or Be'ir, whether there was a kosher Nachtoim available. Halacha Lamaisa, as you know, there are different minhagim when it comes to pas palter. Many people are makbid, some people are not makbid. So anyway.
The palter is the one that bakes it?
The one that bakes it. Rashi says, she'oif is a pas. The Nachtoim is the one that forms it. He does the lisha, he does the aricha. It could very well be he has to go and take the vites and grind it up into flour as well. But that process we're not talking about. We're just talking about the process of the, after the water has been put on the flour. Now it's mukshal kabel tuma, and now unfortunately he's working in a place where everything is tummy, tummy, tummy. Then you, the Jew, cannot assist him because you are a misayeya de adraver. But once it's finished, you can... It doesn't seem to go into that.
Sorry?
Talks about that? Okay, very good. Good. Shkoyach.
If I remember, the palter was a difference between wholesale and retail.
No, you can have a palter a goy, you can have a palter a yid. term positive just means.
What's the difference between a wholesale and retail?
The wholesaler makes less profit, the retailer makes more profit.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the difference.
Gemara only talked about Rebbe came to a place and he was bemoaning the fact that there was a gzeira on pas. So the Gemara says that he, at least the Oilam, thought that he wanted to go Mimatr Paspalta, but that really was never his intention. And said the Gemara, even those that thought he was trying to be Paspalta, you have this on the bottom of Lamed Hey Amid Beis. Well, before we get to that, you have to remember what we learned in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Afilu Lamandiyam Apalter, Oivit Kechovim, Leimornan, Veleke Palti Yisrael. You can only get Pas Akim if there's no Palti Yisrael. But with the Inke Palter, Yisrael Loi. And then even by Palter, only Besodov, not Peir. You look in Lamed Hey Amid Beis, you might go through that.
Usually Nachtim is the one that does the baking also. I mean,
it could be. In our Mishnah, we don't. Here we talk about splitting the jobs.
Palter was the difference of a person that sold the bread. In other words, the baker, he would buy bread from different people, different the whole
thing. Yeah, I understand.
Different bakers, and he sold it as a.
Okay, I hear you loud and clear.
That's what always, in my mind, that was always that's what. Okay.
If you look at the end of the second Toysis, Uperik Hazov from Bamatzia, Nami Masha Palter Nachtem Koton, Saklein Shiga, the Kuning Nachtem Chad Gavra Zovin. That's what you're thinking about from the Masechta Bava Metzia. But our mission is not talking about that. Here we're talking about splitting it up between the one that's forming the bread and the one that's actually baking the bread. Okay, we go back now to the Yayin Nesach issue. Rav Huna. Rav Huna seems to go directly against our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says the status of Yayin for Hilchis Yayin Nesach is only when it hits the bar. As long as it's in the gas, it could be in the gas for a day, for a week, for a year. Makes no difference. No yayin nesach attaches to that yayin. Omer Rav Huna, no yayin kimin shehischa lihi moshech oise yayin nesach. Li moshech means when it begins to flow. What means it begins to flow? So Rashi explains, like we explained in the Mishnah, that the people are treading on top of the grapes on the top of the basin or on the incline of the basin, and the juice begins to ooze. From that moment, we send the Mishnah. It's not yayin nesach. It's got to hit the bar. Rav Huna said, no. Hischa limoshech. Limoshech means the flowing of the juice from the grapes up above in the gas. It's already susceptible to having the halacha of yayin nesach. So if the goy now puts his finger in and stirs it up, maybe even the foot would be enough. It already has the status of yayin nesach. And the Gemara immediately asks, Tanan, Rav Huna, stachun zeh mishnah. You're allowed to go and buy the contents, in other words, the juice that's still in the gas. The avopi, and even the kesh, should not be yodai, where the oiv kachovin took lots of the grapes and the wine and the, not the wine, but the juice oozing from the grapes. He picks it up with his hands, and he puts those grapes on that big mound for now crushing as a result of the pressing by the large beam. So you see, it doesn't become Yayin Nesach until later on. And Rav Huna said, once it starts Li Moshech, it already is susceptible to the status of Yayin Nesach. Om Rav Huna, Begas Pekuka Umaleya. It's talking about that hole down below that connects between the gas and eventually the boyer. Guess what? That's Pekuka. Pekuka means there's a stopper, there's a plug in that hole. Therefore, all the juice remains up above. But that's not enough. Umaleya, the entire gas is full to capacity. Why is that so important? Because if it's not full to capacity, even though nothing is oozing from the gas into the bar, but it's flowing within the gas itself. Says Rav Huna, as soon as hischalihi mashech, means it's oozing from the grapes, and therefore it's flowing from up to down below, on that incline, it's going downwards, says Rav Huna, it already has the status of Yayin Nesach. No, but our Mishnah said no, until it leaves the gas, says Rav Huna, because our gas is talking about that it was full to the brim, to the very top. So you can tread as much as you want, the juice up above is not going to go to down below. It's just going to stay stationary for our purposes. That's the reason why, at that point, it doesn't have a status of yayin to become yayin esach because it's not nimshach. Rav Huna says it has to be nimshach. Okay, let's go on to the next case in the Mishnah. Toshima. It only becomes Yayin Nesach when it leaves the gas and goes towards the bar. And you're telling me that in the gas itself, it already has the status of Yayin Nesach Ravuna. Same teretz. That the gas is totally full to the brim, and nothing is leaking out because it's a stopper, so there's no nimshach, no hemshach. Toshima, well, let's see right in the Mishnah. You're at the bar, when it leaves the gas, going towards the bar, and it hits the bar, mashim, the bar, asr. Mashar, but anything up above is mutter. 1 second. If you're telling me that the yayin is now oozing from the gas, flowing from the gas into the bar, obviously they took out the pekak. Pekak is that stopper. And obviously, therefore, not only is the wine flowing from the bottom of the basin into the bar, but it's also flowing from the top of the basin to the bottom of the basin, because now that it's no longer pekuka, it's no longer malaya, everything is mixed, is flowing in both internally and then ultimately externally from the gas into the bar. So why are we saying the shahr is mutter? At this point, even Rav, not even, the Mishnah should hold like Rav Huna's halacha, that even the juice inside the gas now is oisiyai nesach, because now it's taka nimshach. It's hischalihi mashach. A direct kasha on Rav Huna. There's no way of answering the kasha other than to say, Rav Huna, loy kasha kam b'mishnah rishoyna kam b'mishnah achrayna. There was the earlier psak of Chazal, as codified in our Mishnah, but in later years, they changed their psak. The Gemara doesn't tell us why, when, where, what the circumstances were, but eventually they changed their psak. Our Mishnah, the Mishnah Rishoyna, and as you know, the Gemara often says, Mishnah Rishoyna leizazim emkoyma, once it was codified as part of the Mishnah, even though this is not now halacha lamaisa in the generation of Rav Huna, which of course is generations later, in the times of the Amoraim, says Rav Huna, but already in the times of the Tanoim, they already changed their minds. How do I know? Deciding because I have a Braisa directly on point. The Braisa begins Berishoina. Initially, Hoyoimrim Bidat. And then skip to 2 lines from the bottom of the Omid, V'chozrul Oimer, and they eventually change it to not Dibad, but Divav, as we will see. Both the Bidad and the Dibav are nice Rosh Tevois to remind us what the initial earlier Psak Halacha and the initial standards, what they were. And then the Dibav says, but these are now the Ungenumina, this is now the accepted Halacha and practice in Klai Yisrael. The difference between the Reisha and the Sefer, as we will see in the Gemara, is that initially they held, like Rashi said on the top, Osir Ligroim Tumma L'chulin in Eretz Yisrael, but in later years they relaxed that, and they said, Mutter Ligroim Tumma L'chulin, not Chas V'Sholem to Truma, and not Chas V'Sholem to something which will become Truma, but something which is totally Chulin, that is okay. What means it's going to become Truma? I was referring to Tether. We're going to talk about that shortly on the Amud Aleph. But they changed their minds. Initially they said Osa Ligraim, later on they said Mutta Ligraim. Now this has major ramifications. And now we're going to get to the Rosh Tevis Bidad. Bidad Beis Ein Boitzer Im Oivik Chavim Begas. You're not allowed to be Boitzer. Notice that that's the top line of our Amid Beis. Avaloi Boitzer Im Imo. You're not allowed to be Boitzer with the Goy. Why can't you go and be Boitzer? Because remember we said Betzira is not just the harvesting, but it's also transporting and then taking the grapes and placing them into the gas itself. That's a goyrim tumuhu, remember Rashi said? Why? Because the goy is going to come shortly and he's going to tread on those grapes and the juice is going to ooze. It's going to be machsher all of the pedis, the kabel tumuh, and therefore, ain't boitzer. That's like our Mishnah. Avaloi boitzer imai. Loi boitzer megas. Why? She'osr ligrim tumuh lechun shebaretz Yisrael. Like Rashi said at the time. As well as that's the base. Vein dorchim im Yisrael. You're not allowed to be dorch. We're leaving oivik chachavim to Yisrael. We're going to come back to the oivik chachavim in a moment. Vein dorchim im Yisrael. She'oise peroise betumah. If you have Yisrael that unfortunately is sinning and he's oise peroise betumah, don't be dorch with him. Why? He's not allowed to go and cause his paters to become tamei. So you're not allowed to assist him. Ein dorchim. Go back to the Mishnah. You'll see the top line. Yisrael shu oisim b'tumah loy dorchin, v'loy boitzim imay. Rashi says the kolchken, he's not allowed to be boitzer because he's putting into the gas, etc. Oh, so far these two halachas are word for word like our Mishnah. Aval third, aval dorchim im oivikachom begas v'loy chashinim lidravuna, and therefore you can be dorchim oivikachom begas. Remember, if you go back to the Omid Aleph, bottom line, dorchim im oivikachom begas, you're allowed to be dorch. If you're being dorch, you're causing problems with that it's going to become tamei. No, that's not a problem. Dorchim become begas v'le chashin ravuna. Why am I not choishish? Because after all, it's a goy. There's no din of being misayeya yidei oivri avera. The goy starts the dricha first. As soon as he starts the dricha, everything has become tamei. And I just keep on. I'm not being metame. The goy was metame, but I'm misayeya to the goy. There's no din of misayeya oivri avera by a goy because he is not being oivri avera. He doesn't have this din of being goyim tamei. So that's the Rosh Tevis Bidad. The base is Ein Boitzrin, Dalit Aval, the Ein Dorchin, and then the final Dalit is Aval Dorchin. Base Dalit Dalit, and that really reflects the halacha of our Mishnah. However, Chazru Loimar, this is the Mishnah Achrayna. Later on, they changed. Not Dibad. Dibad is a mistake. It should say Dibav, Dalit Base Base. Ein Dorchin Emoivicham Begaz. Remember, we said on the Amud Aleph, yes, Dorchin. Now they said, "Ein dorchim oivikachom begas." What's the reason why? Mishum de Rav Huna. What did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna said, "Remember at the outset, right after the Mishnah, yayin kimin shehischali himoshech oisi yayinas. Don't wait for the wine, for the oozing of the juice to go into the bar. When it's still in the gas, it already has a status of yayinasech. So you can't be doirich with him in the gas. This is not only because of." Cheshoshes of Tumah, because after in the Mishnah Achrayna we're not worried about Tumah, but we are worried about the fact that it's Osa Bano. Why is it Osa Bano? Because the juice inside the gas is already
moving.
It's Nimshach. That was the Lashon of Avuna. Yain Kimenche Hischali Moshech. As long as it's moving upstairs in the basin, it already can become Yain Esach. So don't be Doirich, because you're helping in that movement. Now it's Yain Esach because of that movement inside the gas. Oi, it's also banah. It's also banah. You're now getting hanah from working with this, and you're going to get a salary for creating and for working with Israel. You're now in a banah. So therefore, ain dark. Which again is...
How do you know that it's yayin nesach and not yayin stam?
When the Gemara uses the term yayin nesach, it's lav dafka. He really means just that the wine is osir. If you talk about a religious guy, you have to assume that he's going to be a yayin nesach guy. And if it's not, then it's just a stam yayinam. But the Gemara uses that loosely. It doesn't really mean dafke yayin esach. It really means, in English, it would say non-kosher wine. It's also vulnerable to become yayin esach. Correct. It's susceptible to become yayin esach. Anyway. I'm sorry. No. Stam yayinam is just like yayin esach. They're both osir bana. There are other differences between them. The gabi hilchis tuma betahara. The gabi shiurim. However, they're both osir bana. Both the stam yayinam and the yayin esach. We had this earlier on. There was a Daf Chavov, Chav Zayin, something like that. Oh, if you look at the bottom of Lamed Amid Beis, I'm sure you remember that, Barry. The last line of Lamed Amid Beis, Shloisha Yenois Hein. There are three Yenois, Yain Nesach, Osibano, Metama Tumachamura. Top of the line, Lamed Aleph, Stam Yenim is also Osibano. But it's Metama Tumah Mashkin Berfis. So the difference in Hilcha is Tumah, but the Gabi Isra, no. Both Yain Nesach and Stam Yenim are Osibano. Therefore, our Mishnah. When our Gemara, we're talking about Yain Nesach is Lav Dafka. Anyway, so that's the Dalit, Ein Dorch. Notice that's not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said Dorch, here it says Ein Dorch. And Ein Boitzer im Yisrael she'oise peiroise betumah. You're not allowed to be Boitzer. And Kol Shkein says Rashi, you're not allowed to be Doirich. And therefore, in fact, the Gemara says Kol Shkein Ein Dorchin. So this is the same as our Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah, on the first two lines, Yisrael she'oise betumah, loy Dorchin, v'loy Boitzer imoy. You cannot be boitzer, and you cannot be doirich. So that remains the same. We're going to come back to this in a moment. But you're allowed to be boitzer in the oivikachom begas. Again, this is not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, aval loy boitzer imoy. Here it says, you can be boitzer. Betzir is not the problem. The problem is that you're going to go and put the grapes into the gas, which is tamei. So back on the Amud Beis, we said, don't do that because you're being goyrim tuma lechulin shebaretz Yisrael. Because you know what you're going to do after you put down the grapes inside the gas. People are going to be doyrich on it, including the goy is going to be doyrich on it. It's going to become tamei. You're not going to be goyrim. Here it says, boitim, you are allowed to. Why? Because they changed their minds in the Mishnah Achrayna. Shemuta ligrim tuma lechulin shebaretz Yisrael. You are allowed to be goyrim tuma. But if you're allowed to be goyrim tuma lechulin, then why by the Israel did we say a moment ago that ain boitzim in Israel? Top line, ain boitzim Israel shoyse peroyse betumah. The kolchki ain darchem. What's the problem? You just said now that there's no iser in being goyim tumah lechulin shemayit Israel. Says Rashi, that's if you're talking about chulin. Here we're talking about tevel. We're talking about grapes that were just harvested from the vineyard, and so therefore you never gave tumah semaisus. And you know what's going to happen now? The tevel is going to become tamei. Okay, there's no problem in making tevel tamei. Yes, there is. Because subsequently you're going to go and take the 2% for the kohen, and it's going to remain tamei. So you're causing and creating truma tamei. Pasuk says, therefore, with the goy, you can go and be doirich and boitzer, or at least aimed, I'm sorry, according to the second Lashon, Mishnah Achrayna, ein dorchen and ein boitzrim, not because of the tumah issues, but because of the isra hanoah issues. Because Rav Huna says, as soon as it's nimshach, it's flowing, it becomes the ayinessa. So, kum techois, our Gemara, we started off with a tremendous kasha on Rav Huna, and Rav Huna was only able to respond by saying, the Mishnah is correct as it is, but that was Mishnah Rishayna. Later on, the Chachamim they changed their minds because they held that mitul ligraim tuma lechun shberet Yisrael. And now Rav Huna is adding, and by the way, although they added this kula that you mitul ligraim, they also added a chumra. And what's that chumra? The juice is not considered to be wine only when it hits the bar, but even when it's still in the gas, it already has a status of wine. And therefore, ein dorchin, ein boitzrin, because already at that time, in the gas, it's already yayin nesach, and you're now going to have hanoah from the iser hanoah, from the yayin that belongs to the goy, or the yayin nesach, stam yenem, both of them are asab hanoah. And with this, we've concluded for today. Liachem, to be continued tomorrow. Thank you all for listening and for allowing the flow of the